Give me a mic check for Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, hello, check one Tampa, check two Tampa. I need some more on one.
Okay.
Casino, check, check. Hard Rock, Tampa, check, check. Seminole Hard Rock.
Check it out for yourself at SeminoleHardRock.com. All right, guys, I'm rolling. Let's kick it.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest is Kristen Pinnell Ryle, lead guitarist in Highland Park, New Jersey's long-running Gripweeds, who take their name from John Lennon's character in the Richard Lester-directed film How I Won the War. The band's latest release, Dig, is a covers album, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, All Tomorrow's Parties, which was done first by the Velvet Underground with Nico singing. The Gripweeds version features Kristen on lead vocals, and we'll hear some of that now, followed by my interview with her on our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
What costume shall the poor girl wear to all tomorrow's party? Hand-me-down dress.
Mighty Manfred here with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and joining me today for our coolest conversations is Kristen Pinnell Ryle. She is the lead guitarist in the Gripweeds from Highland Park, New Jersey. The band has been active since the late 1980s and has released multiple albums. Their latest full-length is titled Dig. It features a slew of really cool covers and is available from Gem Records, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, All Tomorrow's Parties. How are you, Kristen?
Hi, Manfred. I'm good, just winding down from the holidays and traveling and partying, and just nice to have some time off for a few days.
Where have you been enjoying the holidays at?
Well, our families live in New England, Connecticut, Massachusetts area, and now Kurt and I are up in the mountains in the Adirondacks, chilling out.
Wow. Well, you know, last summer in July, I got a chance to speak with your husband and drummer of the band, Kurt Ryle, and he told me that both of you had gotten a mild case of COVID-19. How are you guys doing now?
We're fine. We've been very careful since. We were lucky. We were really lucky. We had mild cases. Mine was so mild, I just thought it was like an allergy, but Kurt had it. Yeah, he didn't feel so great, but we're all vaccinated and, you know, just taking things, we're being careful.
Right. So this, Omicron, has that affected you in any degree? Like, have you had to cancel any gigs because of that?
We had a gig recently at the end of the year in New York City. It was right before this big new variant hit. And I have to tell you, New York City was packed. It was crazy. So we've just decided to hold off right now booking any more shows until things calm down and we know what's going to happen. You know, we haven't done shows for a long time, so.
Well, that gig that you were just describing, that was packed?
Yeah, the city was crazy. There was a lot of people.
Was
yes, we played a show. We played a show called the International Pop Overthrow
in the
East Village.
Right. And so was that the first time you guys have done a live gig since the pandemic began?
Yes. It was almost like 17 months, I think. Really weird, because we've been playing live for a long time.
Well, let me think about this here. Let's see, your husband Kurt and his brother Rick, they started the band, I think, in the late 80s, around 1988. When did you join the group? When did you become part of the lineup?
Well, the Ryle brothers had been playing about 5 years before I met them. Mm-hmm. And there was a pretty cool scene in New York City back then. And we all met at a Smithereen show, which is kind of funny. And we realized we loved the same kind of music, and we started hanging out together, and I would go to their shows. I had my own band. I was playing in a band called The Rooks back in the early 90s. And eventually they were going to do some recording, and they wanted to toughen up their sound. And they asked me if I'd help out with some demos and some recordings. And I did. One thing led to another, and the Ryle brothers have charmed me ever since. And so I've been in the band with them for a long time. We're a family now. Kurt and I are married. So.
Oh, wow. And so let's maybe ask some questions specifically about you. Then where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Connecticut, just south of Hartford. And I grew up there. I was in the music scene there. Hartford didn't really have a great music scene. I ended up leaving there and moving to Boston. Mm-hmm. For a while. I went to music school. I also was playing in bands, and Boston had such a great music scene. Yeah. There's so many places to play. And so that's kind of where I cut my chops as a musician in the Boston scene.
So you play guitar. When did you start playing guitar?
Oh, when I was a little girl. I was I had older brothers and sisters, so I was always stealing into their rooms and listening to their albums. And when I was really little, I mean, like really, really little, and I just became obsessed with playing guitar. And I just have been doing it ever since. I've been really, like I said, I moved out of the Hartford scene, ended up in Boston and New York, just trying to hook up with some like-minded musicians.
What got you from Boston over to the New York area?
I was playing with an all-female band in Boston, and we decided that we wanted to move to New York City. We had management, and we were doing a lot of shows, and we just wanted to get out of the Boston scene and try to do something different. So we moved to New York City. So we were kind of like, you know, I was in a band with all girls living in this apartment. Uh-huh. Playing shows and recording, and it was pretty fun back then.
What was the name of the band?
We were called Dark Secret.
Dark Secret. Yeah. So you mentioned having other brothers and sisters. Your parents, they were supportive of your guitar playing, of your musicianship?
Well, not so much when I got really serious. They were a little worried that it would be too hard a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And everybody in my family was kind of into music, but not trying to make a career out of it. So Right. They were just a little concerned for my, the lifestyle that it might entail. But I was fortunate to just find a family that I could make, put my music into. So that's what was great about the Ryles. But my family they were a little concerned. And
well,
I didn't have really any.
I wanted to add in here. I mean, they were a little concerned. And of course, I can, that's not uncommon. Your parents being concerned about your welfare, obviously. But it seems like it's turned out pretty well. I mean, how much better could you make it be, in the end that, as you said, you've in this musical family, you're married with Kurt, you guys make your own music. Is the studio, the House of Vibe studio, is that when you guys aren't being actively pursuing Gripweeds type projects, is that the sort of the family business?
Yes, it is. We have a lot of outside clients, and that's worked out really well for us, is that we've been able to kind of hone our craft and work with a lot of different musicians, and over the years kind of build things up. And because it's a family, it's like it's Kurt, Rick, and myself. We've amassed this great studio. We have a ton of great equipment, vintage equipment, a lot of instruments. And it's just over the years, we've just been able to create this great situation that we can use ourselves, but we also bring in a lot of outside clients, and it keeps us going.
So I know of some couples who were, you know, in bands together, and I imagine one of the great benefits is that, especially if you tour a lot, you don't have to leave your significant other behind. What's the best thing for you about being in a band with your husband?
Well, like you said, you can be with each other and you can support each other. You don't have to. I mean, being a musician, it's very demanding. You know, it takes a lot of time to create an album. And if you are touring, or it's really tough if you've got to be away from the person that you love. So we've really benefited from being a family. I think it's the reason we're together still. It's like we always joke, we're like, you know, you can't leave this band unless you're leaving in a pine box, because you're all related, you know. So it's great. It's, you know, it gets very intense. There's no getting away from it. We have huge arguments. But you always, you know, you could come back. It's your family, you know. So,
well, the Gripweed's last studio album, I think that is 2018's Trip Around the Sun. Am I right? That's the last studio album before Dig, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yes, that was them.
So cool record. Now, why did you guys decide to do this covers album, this Dig album?
Well, we started out with plans for the four of us to record more original material for another album, but the pandemic intervened like it did for so many other musicians, and we couldn't work off each other and develop ideas like the way we were used to doing in the same room. Mm-hmm. So we had to learn to work another way, and we had to learn to work remotely. Kurt and I would basically, we were in the studio. We had the studio to ourselves. There was no clients. It was just us. And Rick set up a remote studio. He was away from us. And we were able to work on these covers, because these were the songs that kind of the band started with. I mean, the songs that are on Dig were, we had been listening to these songs when we started as a band. So we all knew them. We all had our own ideas about how to make them work. So we didn't really, it was kind of easier to work remotely that way. And we just decided we were going to try to do this, because everybody had a lot of time to focus, you know, so.
What is your favorite song on the album? Do you have a favorite? Oh,
it depends what mood I'm in, you know, because some of them are really fast paced and crazy, like Journey to the Center of Your Mind. Or then we also do a really cool version of the Stones, Child of the Moon. Yeah, it kind of depends what mood I'm in. You know, I love all the songs. You know,
go ahead.
These were the songs that made us want to play this kind of psychedelic garage vibe from the 60s, like Nugget era. This is what we wanted this sound. We wanted to create a band that had this sound. And we were just like fortunate all these years later, we've developed all this like production expertise and experience, so we can really bring something to this material. It's kind of like full circle. We started with it, and now we're kind of like getting back into it and, you know, just trying to make it our own.
And so you mentioned this sort of Nuggets era things and I guess Coven the Rolling Stones and the Amboy Dukes, Journey to the Center of the Mind. And some of the other artists you cover include the Zombies and the Creation and the Marmalade, Paul Revere and the Raiders and the Blues Project. But our coolest song in the world this week is your version of the Velvet Underground's All Tomorrow's Parties. So Lou Reed wrote a lot of cool tunes. Why do a version of this one? Is this something that you guys were playing early on?
Well, no, it was, I was always kind of intrigued by Nico, who sings the song, and the Velvet Underground. Like, they have such like kind of, she had like a mysterious kind of nomadic vibe, like this German model who gets involved in the 60s psychedelic avant-garde art scene kind of thing. And I thought that was, she seemed kind of cool. And we were looking for a song that was kind of more laid back, because some of, we just wanted to take the album down a little bit, and we needed a song that I could sing, because I don't have a big voice. I have a very sweet little pretty voice, and it's hard to sing over the Grip Reeds because they're like a freight train. So we decided we would try this song, because really it's like a pop song in disguise. All Tomorrow's Parties is, it's a great pop song, and we just wanted to come up with something. We didn't really know what we wanted to do with it, but Kurt came up with this really cool piano synth drone, and we built the whole song on it. And it gave it kind of a majestic, like a promenade regal feel almost. And yeah. I was trying to like write guitar songs that sounded like cellos and psychedelic cellos. You know, it's like all these weird things that you think of when you're trying to bring a song to life. So,
well, I love how you're talking about your voice, because you know, Nico almost has this sort of yeah, the same job, and almost monotone kind of way of singing it. So I think your approach and your version is really cool. How often have you sung lead vocals on Gripweed songs?
Well, like I said, like singing over the Gripweeds is like singing over a freight train.
Yeah.
And I don't have a big voice. Yeah. I have a very kind of pretty soft voice. So we always have to kind of find a song or a place for me to sing. I mean, I sing a lot of harmonies.
Yeah.
And I do sing lead songs, but kind of have to find a place for my voice to come out. And I think with this song, it was, you know, it really did. There's a lot of harmonizing going on too. So.
Well, so the, on the album's version, Velvet Underground and Nico, you know, the version of the song on there is 6 minutes long, and then they did release it as a single, and they just like cut it in half. And so your version is seems to be the same arrangement as their single version. Why did you choose to do in with that arrangement as opposed to the full 6 minute thing?
Oh, well, you know, just trying to keep things a little more condensed, and we didn't yeah. want to get too jammy on the record. You know, we definitely could go on. We definitely could go on and on, but you know, it, like I said, it struck us as a good pop song, you yeah. know, so we wanted to just focus it a little bit. And it was kind of the song to me, it was kind of, it captured like this sadness and melancholy. And because we were in the middle of the COVID, it kind of had like, you know, All Tomorrow's Parties, it's kind of like looking at the hope for us in the future, like for All Tomorrow's Parties, you know. That's why I kind of think of these things when I'm like working on stuff, you know.
Oh, I love the way you put that. Well, you also mentioned, you know, these, a lot of the material on here sort of Nuggets era, and musician, author, critic Lenny Kay is a DJ here in the Underground Garage. He recently turned 74. He's of course responsible yeah. for putting together that original Nuggets double album compilation. How did you guys line up Lenny to do the liner notes for Dig?
Well, we've been working with Marty Scott from Gem Records, and he called Lenny and asked him if he would be interested in doing it, because Lenny's from our area. He's from like New Jersey. So, you know, he knew about us and he agreed to write, you know, because he was familiar with us and the material, and he understood where we were coming from, you know, because like those songs that we chose for Dig, they weren't like hits. They weren't, some of them were, but they're like, it's kind of like you really had to dig for this stuff. It's kind of like the buried treasure and rarities and things that like, if a band played, people definitely would like they wouldn't know who wrote that song, but it was a really cool song. And I think that's what Lenny, you know, he brought to the Nuggets, sets. That's what we liked about working on his material. And I think he recognized that in us too, and he agreed to write our liner notes.
Very cool. Well, in those liner notes, he writes, "The Gripweeds have always celebrated the primal influence of the music that made us want to do this." And I think you've touched on this a bit already, but can you elaborate on that some? What is the music that made you want to be a musician, and how is that represented on the album?
Well, when Rick and Kurt originally started the band, they were using these songs to kind of develop their own sound. They wanted to emulate this psychedelic garage vibe. And when I met them, we had kind of decided that we wanted a little bit of heavier, a melodic sound. Mm-hmm. We all love like the Birds and the Raiders, and that we wanted it to be like that. So we decided to bring it into our first album, and that's when I joined the band. So it's like, after all these years, we've got all this studio and playing experience, so we can finally take those songs that we started with that originally inspired us, and we can kind of give them our own sound. After all these years, we can use our production expertise and kind of give them a really good recording. Because I think a lot of these like early songs, when they were working on them, the bands were done really quickly on low budgets. And so, I mean, they were great. They were exciting and full of abandon. And we wanted to capture that. We wanted to bring in our production skills. And, you know, we've been working together for so long. We were able to bring a life of our, we were able to give our sound to them, which was kind of like coming full circle for us. We started with these songs, and now we're making them our own, you know.
So Dig is out now, and the pandemic interrupted with working on a new album of original material, but are you back on track for that now?
Back on track for original material? Well, yeah. We will be shortly. We're cranking out. We've got a new project with Gem Records. It's going to be out mid next year, that we just finished up. We just right before Christmas Day, we're still in the studio. And that's going to be a gem release that we're not really saying exactly what it is yet, but I think once we get into January, we're going to finally be able to work on some more original material and get back on track. We really want to go out and play Dig live. So hopefully the live situation will, you know, work itself out over the next few months.
Well, so this is going to air in January. So this project that you guys finished up right before Christmas, the day before Christmas, is that going to be released this month in January?
No, it's going to be out mid next year. It's on Gem Records. It's going to be out next year. We don't exactly have a release date, but it's kind of a secret project, one of these Marty Scott ideas.
He is full of ideas.
He is. He's always on us. He's the bulldog of Gem Records. We love him.
Oh, yeah. Well, the track I'd like us to go out with is I Wonder. And it's a song first done by the 60s Greenwood, Mississippi band, The Gants. And your version there on Dig. Does this song resonate any special way with you?
Oh, my God. The first time I heard that song, you know how people used to make mixtapes?
Yeah.
You get a mixtape. And I heard this great melodic song. It was just like such a great pop song. And when we decided to record it, we just wanted to give it kind of a specter, a big lush sound.
Yeah.
And I just loved working on this track because not only all the harmonies and all the vocals, but all the 12-string guitars that I recorded, I did all this layering of guitars and interplay, which I just love doing that kind of stuff. And it just, all this beautiful melodic stuff going between the vocals and the guitars, And I think that we did a, I think we did a pretty good job on that one.
I think you did an excellent version of it. And one thing too, I love the interplay with the guitars and the vocals, and about the vocals, there's this really cool vocal kind of, for lack of a better way to describe it, I'll call it a vocal breakdown. You do in it about 2 minutes into the song. It kind of reminds me of the something the Zombies do in that song, Carousel 44. Whose idea was it for that vocal breakdown bit?
Well, that was Kurt Ryle, the ringmaster. He's like, we need something in this song to make it really special. And we were kicking it around for a long time. And he finally like, let's just do a vocal breakdown. So the three of us, you could hear us all layered in there, Kurt, Rick, and myself doing different vocal parts. But that was Kurt who came up with that idea.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, Kristen, thanks so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you very much, Manfred. It's been fun.
Right. Now with a version of I Wonder, it's the Gripweeds off their album Dig in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I don't know why I'm shy when she's around, but I know when she leaves, my head hangs down. Isn't her looks, her ways that makes me care, but I always seem to see her everywhere. My, I, how I wonder what makes me feel the way I feel when I'm around her. Oh yeah. When I see her, I feel funny inside. Should I look, should I talk, or should I hide? I should go up to her and ask her her name.
That was some of I Wonder from the Gripweeds here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Song done originally by the Gants, and that Gripweeds version included on their latest album, Dig, out on Gem Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead guitarist, Kristen Pinnell Ryle, for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Next time around, I'll be joined by Tommy Boy, the drummer in the Swedish band Stupidity. The contemporary garage rock group has got a new album out now. It's called Waking Up the Band, and we'll find out all about it on our next Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.